D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Trevor Maddich will join us in the next segment, so roughly 20 minutes from now or so. Also, be listening to that segment with Trevor Maddich, because at the end of that segment, I am going to give away a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on August 30th and 31st. So be listening after Trevor Maddich in the next segment. Some breaking news in college football during the break. The Tennessee Volunteers have re-signed head coach Josh Heupel to a contract that extends through January 2030. So Josh Heupel has received a contract extension from the University of Tennessee through January 2030. From Danny White, the Vols athletic director, quote, "The revival of our football program under Josh's leadership has made everyone in Big Orange Country proud to be a Vol. Josh has brought Tennessee football back to its rightful place among the nation's elite programs, and he and his staff have fostered a positive culture within the team. Our commitment to supporting Josh and his staff remains strong and unwavering." So the Tennessee Volunteers have signed head coach Josh Heupel to a contract extension that runs through January 2030. Speaking of Josh Heupel, Hendon Hooker. And by the way, Robbie and Rex Road this morning was roughly 2 hours and 15 minutes of Joe Rex Road arguing with texters about Hendon Hooker. So I knew as soon as I saw that news yesterday, and we discussed it at the top of the show, I thought to myself, can't wait for Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And it did not disappoint, with Joe Rex Road getting into arguments with the texters.
What was the gist of the argument? You give us the short version.
Well, Derek has talked about this point before, about how Josh Heupel, is it specifically Josh Heupel or
it's
Tennessee?
It's the offense. Okay. It's the offense. It has nothing
it's
to do with
It's Heupel's offense. Tennessee. Heupel's offense is not conducive to developing offensive players to make it to the NFL. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Okay. They're not developing you for the NFL. And I get it. That's not my job. My job is to win football games. But if you're a quarterback, if you're a quarterback and your expectations or your dream is to make it into the NFL and to be a first round pick and develop into a great quarterback, you may not want to go to in that offense. But this offense is good for putting up numbers and putting you in position to potentially win the Heisman. That's what this offense does for you.
One texter, by the way, says, that Heupel thing is so funny. They are going to fire him at the end of this year. The season is going to be that bad.
I don't think he's going to be that bad. He's averaged 8.5 wins per season since he's been there, with the high of, I think, 11 wins.
I don't know what the over-under for wins, 11 wins for Tennessee is this
second year.
Year.
So I just think this offense isn't development-friendly for the NFL. It allows you to put up a lot of numbers, as well as the receivers. I think the receivers have trouble transitioning to the NFL because they're not being taught how to run routes. Just run to a space. That's basically it. You know, there's no technique in what they're really doing because nobody's pressing them. The defense is spread from sideline to sideline. So there's no development in a receiver as well. So if you want to put up big numbers and win the Biletnikoff or be in a race to win the Heisman, then go to UT, because UT, that's what's going to happen. But if you're talking about getting developed for the NFL, that may not be the first place you want to go. I'm not saying it should be off your list, but it may not be the first place you want to go.
By the way, Willie Donick, David Janes tells me the over-under for wins for Tennessee football this season is set at 8.5.
See? There you go.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think we knew that.
Steven on our text line says, if I were a 5-star skill player, I would not even consider the University of Tennessee.
I was asking Chad Withrow last week if he would take 9-3, and he said, yeah, based on the drama of Nico and the timing of it and just trying to recover from that, to go 9-3 would be pretty good. So that's right on the edge of the over-under. So what was the crux of Joe? What was he getting? Were the Tennessee fans arguing that Hooker was good and should be on the Titans? Or what was the
honestly
situation?
I can't remember exactly what it was. It's all sort of blended together. But
because I remember Joe, at one point Joe was pretty high on Hendon Hooker, mm-hmm. was he not?
Yes,
I think he still is. I think he's still really high and thinks that Hendon Hooker could make a roster.
I mean, he could make a roster.
I
don't think that's the case.
We talked about this yesterday. He's almost 28. That's he'll turn 28 in January. So time's ticking. It better happen quick if he's going to do it.
Paul Kaharsky tweeted this morning, beat down at Joe Rexroad over Hooker on at 102.5 The Game. He was a third or fourth round pick. Joe thought worth 11th overall.
Oh, so that's where it was.
Yes.
When the Titans had they took Skoronski.
Yes.
And then Levis. And Joe was saying that Hooker should have been the guy at 11?
I suppose. I don't recall this, but Paul Kaharsky doesn't.
It was a freezing cold take. Come back.
That might be a freezing cold take.
Okay. We've all made those
worthy
mistakes.
Tweet. But other than Hendon Hooker, I didn't mean for us to get sidetracked there with Hendon Hooker. But other than Hendon Hooker, there are some interesting quarterbacks who were released by their respective teams over the past couple of days. There's Tommy Cutlets himself, Tommy DeVito. And it doesn't hit the same, Tommy DeVito playing anywhere else but New Jersey. Like, it just doesn't work anywhere else.
The Jets will pick him up, don't worry.
Yeah, well. Tommy DeVito is out there. Kyle McCord, who was a fifth-round pick of the Eagles, I believe, in this most recent draft. He was released. Jake Haener was released in New Orleans, by the way. The Saints announced that Spencer Rattler is going to be their starting quarterback. Ooh. Wow. Number one pick incoming in New Orleans. But here's my question for the two of you. We'll start with Willie and all of you at 615-737-1025. Should the Titans consider claiming any of the quarterbacks who were released around the NFL? And I am not saying necessarily to back up Cam Ward, but the Titans only carried two quarterbacks on their initial roster, Cam Ward and Brandon Allen. Trevor Siemian was released. So would it make sense to pick up a Kyle McCord, for example, or a Jake Haener, one of those types of quarterbacks, as the third/developmental quarterback? Willie, what do you think?
So to keep him as a third, if I could put him on a practice squad, I think I'd be open. I think you'd like to have a third guy there. Would we agree? Mm-hmm. And I'm not smart enough to tell you who it is, who's the best. Could be somebody that's got a background with Callahan or Callahan's offense, maybe a Bengals person. Or even before that, he's been in a couple of different places. That would be my thought. You have room on your practice squad now for a lot of guys. So it makes sense that you would have a quarterback there.
Yeah, I don't think they are going to, or even in a rush to add another quarterback to the active roster. Because if you get past, if Cam goes down, everybody knows the season is done anyway. And then I think they will look for, if they have to look for a quarterback then, or they may transition someone into onto the practice squad. He's learning the offense. So if anything happens, they can, you know, sign him to the active squad and make him the third quarterback or what would be the potential backup until they go out and get another veteran guy. But I don't think that's a pressing need for the Titans right now. If that was the case, I think they would have kept Siemian on the roster, but I don't think backup quarterback is a position right now that the Titans are, you know, pressed about.
Jackson on our text line says no, because they have to put them on the 53 if they claim anyone. Just signed Siemian to the practice squad. Mm-hmm. Of those names I mentioned, however, the one who stood out to me is Kyle McCord. Kyle McCord was a fifth round pick of the Eagles just a few months ago, was released the other day. Spent three seasons at Ohio State before transferring to Syracuse, led FBS in passing yards per game, and set the ACC's single-season passing yards record in his lone season in Syracuse. And he's 22 years old. So that was my thought. If you could bring in a quarterback like McCord, who's young, who still needs to be developed, I would rather have that type of quarterback as my team's third quarterback than someone like Trevor Siemian, who's, you know, he is what he is. But that was just my thought.
Well, you can throw him on a practice squad. Yeah.
Well, that's the distinction is, do you want to keep him on your 53 or do you want to wait and see who's there for the practice squad?
One texter suggests Kyle Trask, who was released in Tampa Bay, but I believe Trask is dealing with a shoulder injury. So I don't think that makes a ton of sense. Jeff from Hendersonville, with the news that Josh Heupel has received a new contract with the University of Tennessee, says if Hooker and Joe Milton didn't go to UT, they wouldn't have even gotten drafted. Is that a spicy opinion, Derek Mason?
Again, I think the offense affords you to put up a bunch of numbers, and you may end up fooling the right person. And the right person for Hendon Hooker was the Detroit Lions. How fitting, my team. So, and then you look at Joe Milton. He was a six-round draft pick. You're taking a flyer. So he would have been a six-round draft pick at any – had he left Michigan and went somewhere else, he still would have been a six-round draft pick. Why? Because of the potential they see in him. Big frame quarterback that can throw the ball through a building, you know, that can that has some speed to him. But he's raw. He just needs to be refined. How many people wouldn't have taken a chance on that? Even if he had not played at UT. There are a lot of people would have. They took a chance on Richardson in the first round, and he was nothing but Joe Milton. That's just who he is.
Hair Metal Henry on our text line says, those quarterbacks will be around in week 10. No need to bring them in now. I mean, I do enjoy a cold chicken cutlet. So Tommy DeVito in week 10 may still be good. Who knows?
Well, one of the things we're going to talk about later is, you know, can they – we're going to hit the question philosophically, can they keep Cam Ward on the field? But we have seen seasons. Jake Locker comes to mind. You know, Marcus Mariota had his share of injuries. Sometimes you end up looking around, and Tommy DeVito and the cutlets start looking pretty good about week 10 or 11 because you just don't have a live body. Some guys get a chance because it's absolutely an emergency situation, right?
A room temperature cutlet. Still good.
Yes.
I like a good room temperature cutlet. Jared from Spring Hill on our text line says, so with the consensus now, more than ever, that this team is in a rebuild, are we just going to accept that Cam Ward was gifted the starting role? And is it right to put him out there where he's going to fail and maybe get hurt and bust out of the league?
I don't think he was necessary. When you're the number one pick, the assumption is you're going to be the starter opening day in today's football. That is the assumption by everybody, that if I'm drafting you number one, no matter if you are a receiver nowadays or a D-line, an offensive line, if they're drafting you number one, the assumption is you better be ready to play game one. That's why we drafted you. So I'm not going to sit here and say that he didn't have to work for it. I think he did have to work. He had to work for the trust of the players. That's what he had to work for. Because even if I throw you out there and you have no competition and I just throw you out there, if the players don't trust you, it's not going to work. So even though everybody in the building, everybody in Nashville knew that he was going to be the starting quarterback, unless he earned the trust of those other 52 guys in that locker room, mainly the ones on offense, he wasn't going to be the starter. That's plain and simple. But he did earn the trust of them. And we'll see how it goes in the first game of the season.
Off the top of my head, Willie, the last quarterback drafted number one overall who did not start immediately was Baker Mayfield. But it was only a couple of games because Tyrod Taylor, who seems to be the starting quarterback placeholder for top quarterback draft picks, wasn't he? He was with Justin Herbert, if I recall correctly. Wasn't he also with Drake May?
I'm not sure. He may have been.
It was Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, Brissett. I'm sorry. Yes. Jacoby Brissett, another one of those quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor and Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett is the absolute, those two are cut from the same cloth.
Mayfield is the last number one overall pick quarterback that I can recall did not start week one of his rookie season. I also believe that Jared Goff did not start week one of his rookie season either, but Bryce Young did.
He did not.
If I'm not mistaken, Caleb Williams did. Trevor Lawrence did. Joe Burrow did. Kyler Murray did. Right? I think all of those quarterbacks did. Mayfield and Goff didn't. I believe Winston did. Jameis Winston in 2015. So
yes.
It It rarely happens. I mean, the days of the quarterback, the top pick quarterback sitting, those days are over. I mean, we've done this exercise throughout the summer, looking at when these quarterbacks start playing. We did the exercise with the second contracts. I as Derek said, when you draft a quarterback number one overall, rightly or wrongly, you are starting him. That is why you are drafting him in the first place. So I agree with Derek. I wouldn't say to Jared in Spring Hill's point that the Titans gifted him the number one pick. We've gone through all of the reporting, Willie, that Albert Breer and others have done about the things that Cam Ward has done behind the scenes, the 5 o'clock meetings, all of those things, which plays into Derek's point about how Cam Ward had to earn the trust of his team despite being the de facto starting quarterback from the moment he was drafted.
One of the things we did was a research project that The Athletic did. I think it was Aaron Schatz that actually did all the research. But the ones who did sit, not just first overall picks, but quarterbacks drafted in the first round in general, that sat for at least a while, at least till week 7, I think was the cutoff point.
Yes.
Had a better performance rate long term in terms of earning a second contract with the team that drafted them. So there are stories of guys who are, and gifted is maybe the wrong word. But like D-May says, when you're the first overall pick, all of the forces are pushing you. Your roster, you probably don't have a guy that's any good to start with, and the rest of your roster is not very good. So you're forced into a tough situation, and it may not be the best situation. But for better or worse, I think they pretty much had their mind made up. The only thing that might have been something to consider, because Brandon Allen just isn't that kind of guy. Like, when they signed him, we were all like, that's not the kind of guy that you could have sitting there to feel good about what you were going to get if you started him for a few games. But I didn't ignore what The Athletic put out there with the results of those numbers. Sometimes sitting is a good thing, but it just doesn't seem like people listen to that kind of stuff. They're going to go full bore when you make a guy and make an investment with the first overall pick.
And we can revisit those numbers later, because Willie Donick has his second pressing Titans question. It's about Cam Ward, and we'll get to that after Trevor Maddich, who is coming up next. 615-737-1025. We will get Trevor's thoughts on the Titans' initial 53-man roster and more. That's coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A reminder that at the end of this segment, I will give you the cue to call to win a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on August 30th and 31st. So be listening at the end of this segment. We are pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, the Titans' initial 53-man roster has been released. How would you compare the overall talent level of the Titans' initial 53-man roster this season to last season's roster?
Adam, it is an extraordinary improvement. There are still holes that they need to fill, especially with depth. But from a standpoint of compared to last season, this roster I absolutely love in comparison, right? I mean, the offensive line is completely different. The receivers have been upgraded tremendously. I believe the inside linebackers have been upgraded a lot. If Legarius Sneed can just stay healthy at corner, then all of a sudden with Jarvis Brownlee having a year under his belt, Roger McCreary playing well, at least the starting corners are looking good. Safety might be the deepest position on the team with some new guys there. And, you know, I think overall, this 53-man is dramatically more talented and more capable of competing than last year's. Now, how will they do? Where do they stack up against the better teams in the league? They're still not there yet. But compared to last year, and remember this, that we've talked a lot over the last few years about how, just as an example, if the offensive line could improve from heinous to merely awful, it would make a huge difference with the team. Well, that's where we are. I mean, we're with a team that has been dramatically subpar overall in terms of his talent level that has made a huge step forward.
Now, Trevor, how do you think this this trio of Peter, Cushenberry, and Zeitlin, how do you think that that's going to work out for the Titans? Because I think it's going to be essential to keep the middle of that pocket, because that's where defenses are going now. They want to push the pocket so the quarterback can't step up in the pocket and deliver the ball. But how do you think those three guys are going to work?
You know, I think they'll work together really well. I think there's a good mix there of youth and experience, and I think there's a tremendous amount of hunger as well. Peter Skoronski at left guard came into the league with he had to have his appendix out before his first year, I believe it was, and then the first couple of years he was in the league, he had such a huge deficit at left tackle, and then next to him at center on the right as him as left guard. So he's got the combination of youth, inexperience, and lack of talent on both sides. And it's really hard to develop as an offensive lineman when you're always trying to block your guy and help somebody else on either side who is beating the guy on either side. And so I think just having a veteran left tackle and a veteran center who are both proven NFL players will help Skoronski. And I see him taking a big leap forward. Lloyd Cushenberry at center is one of the best young centers in the league, but he's got to return from that Achilles injury. And the thing about that is that I hope that they don't push him to come back against, you know, Denver. Certainly, I don't think he'll play against Denver the way we are now, but to come back too soon. Because, you know, they play a lot of really tough defenses in the first month of the regular season. And they should not try to rush Cushenberry back because of that and then lose him for the rest of the season, or at least for a few more months. So I think they should slow play Cushenberry. Corey Levin is one of the best backup offensive linemen in the NFL. And I think that they have the luxury of allowing Cushenberry to heal before they put him in. Kevin Zeitler at right guard came in from Minnesota, the Vikings. And he is the kind of a guy that's had just a solid career, just rock solid. And so with him and with Cushenberry, the big keys are just to keep them healthy, to manage their practice time and make sure that their bodies are in good shape, because while Cushenberry is a young guy, Zeitler is not. Zeitler is, you know, a relatively older guy, but his performance last year didn't slip. I mean, he's still performing at a very high level. So I like the three of those guys inside when Cushenberry gets healthy and as long as they all stay healthy as a group.
Now, how bad do they need a swing tackle? Because every team, you know, has to have that tackle or that offensive lineman that can go from left to right, whether it be the left tackle, right tackle, or he can play center or guard. But how important is it going to be for them to get a swing tackle, especially you're dealing with a guy that, you know, a second-year guy in Latham. He's moving back to his natural position, but I'm sure it's going to still take him a time to get up to speed. And then you have the other guy they brought in from Pittsburgh, Moore. I mean, do I think he was overpaid? Possibly, yes. But he's not a what we would call a high-end tackle.
No, but remember the standard. I mean, if they went from heinous to awful at left tackle, it would be a big improvement. Well, in this case, they went from okay with J.C. Latham as a rookie last year, moving from right to left tackle as a starter, to bringing in Dan Moore. They went from okay to quite good. And you're right, Dan Moore hasn't shown that he's an elite tackle, but he's shown that he's quite good, which for the Titans is an enormous improvement. But having backup tackles is huge, because we've seen over the last several years what happens when you don't have tackles, whether they can't play or whether they get hurt and the backup can't play. It's been all combinations of that on both sides for the Titans in recent years. And so, you know, having whether it's one guy that'll swing or whether it's a couple of guys that'll focus in on the left and on the right, it doesn't really matter. I mean, Udo can play both sides. And I think they really like Blake Hance as a guy that can give them depth at all five offensive line positions. There's a lot of value in that kind of versatility. But they've got three guys right now out of 11 on this offensive line group that they've carried into today that are listed as tackles, just tackles. That doesn't include Hance, that are backups. So I really think they're going to be switching some guys around. I don't think they're going to carry 11 offensive linemen. I really think that they need to bolster that defensive line. They may add another defensive lineman. There's a couple of places where they might lose one of the 11 offensive linemen in favor of somebody else at a different position to add people that can do more than just back up on the offensive line. Because remember this, that, you've got 11 offensive linemen. Guess how many of them cover kicks?
None.
None of those guys are core special teams guys. So I don't think you're going to see 11. You'll probably see 9, possibly 10, but I think you'll end up seeing about 9 by the things all said and done.
We're talking to Trevor Maddich, talking some football with him on cut down day. And Trevor, I think we are all, even though you're optimistic that they've improved from last year to this year on the roster, we know that with the number one waiver pickup, we all have this hope that they can even get better on the margins. It's one of the things of Pete Rozelle's parity, right? You get that first pick for a while. How much can they take advantage of that? Are we sitting there hoping, is our bar a little too high of what you might get there? What's the standard? How much can they help themselves there?
Yeah, that's a great point, Willie. And I think that because this team has been so bad for so long, that certainly in recent memory, they have a really good chance to improve their depth, improve their special teams, and maybe even pick up a guy that they can develop into more of an everyday player. But certainly when you have first choice of players that other sides waive, you can absolutely do that. We talked about defensive line, right? You got Jeffrey Simmons, Devondre Sweat, and Sebastian Joseph Day is a quite good starting offensive line. James Lynch is a quality backup. So that's 4. Then you got Timmy Horn, who is up and down. And I don't know that he'll be on the roster after the Titans go through all the waivers and start to pick up some defensive linemen. I think I'd like them to add 2 more, and maybe one of them in place of Horn, so that they can have a quality rotation on the defensive line so the starters don't get worn out. And, you've got the 3 starters with only 2 backups behind them. I think that some teams are going to be waiving defensive linemen that have a good chance to be able to come in like a second hockey line. And even though their talent level isn't the highest, they can play, they're athletic, and they will give 100% effort until they have to come back out of the game and the starters can go back in after having gotten the rest. And so, I think that those kinds of areas are where the Titans can benefit from having the first pick in the waiver process. So remember this, that players that have less than 4 vested years in the league, vested is when you've got at least 3 games in a year where you're either on the active roster or on one of the injury lists. And so basically a 1-4 year veteran, essentially for most of them, that's when the Titans will have the first pick. After that, then those players aren't waived. They're just released and they're immediate free agents and it's not the waiver process. So the Titans will have their first pick of those players that don't have more than 4 vested years. And that's a whole lot of guys. And right now, the depth of this team could improve in some position groups dramatically. Other position groups, not so much. Safety, I don't see him adding any safeties, but I can see him adding some linebackers, that's for sure. And I definitely can see him adding some defensive linemen inside.
Trevor, one thing we debated yesterday was, you just provided some insight. I wish we had you share that with us before we made our picks, but it's a related topic. We're going to hit after you're finished with our conversation today. We're going to throw at our listeners, can the Titans keep Cam Ward upright and get him through? It would be a victory in my mind if he just made it through the regular season and played 16 or 17 games, because that would mean he's playing well enough to keep the job and they're not beating him up like some of the guys we've seen kind of crash and burn. They just can't get through. With these improvements in the roster and the improvements of the offensive line, do you feel okay about their chances of Ward getting the full season in?
Yeah, I really do. And really, this team's success and Ward's success early on will come down to the offensive line and the running backs. This team has to rely on the run. It has to be like the Hogs of Washington's Super Bowl years. Now, they're not that good. They don't have a running back like John Riggins. But I think that Pollard is a really good player, and they keep him healthy. He was really great for this team, one of the few bright spots last year for the Titans. And with the improvement on the offensive line, if those guys can stay healthy, this is a team that has to go old school. It's a team that has to rely on the run, keep the other offense off the field, keep their defense fresh, especially that defensive line of the Titans, and then allow third and manageable on a regular basis and allow play action pass to really matter because defenders are thinking about the run first. And so Cam Ward, for all the good stuff that he may or may not do, is going to be largely dependent on how well that offensive line can block with the run and how the running backs are able to fall forward and gain an extra yard or so at the end of a run so that they're third and two, third and three all the time instead of third and seven or third and six all the time. And that's when we'll see Cam Ward really start to flourish. The pass protection, especially off the edges this year, should be such a dramatic improvement over years past that I think Titans fans are going to need to call their doctors with the vapors because they're going to be astonished at how much protection Cam Ward has compared to what they're used to seeing with Will Levis and the way this pass protection has fallen apart. But again, you know, Cam Ward this year might be Jaden Daniels of the Commanders. He might have that kind of a rookie season. I hope he does. But ultimately, the best thing for him is for the running game to go. That will help his protection. That will help everything else. And so as you judge Cam Ward's performance this year, the first thing you want to judge is not the protection. The first thing you want to judge is the running game and what's his average third down to go.
Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
Trevor Maddich joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. 615-737-1025. All right, I told you I have a giveaway, and here it is. Be caller number two at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on August 30th and 31st. That's this weekend. Caller number two wins a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. There are 9 shows left before week 1, Titans at Broncos. We started this exercise yesterday. Willie's 10 pressing Titans questions. Before we get to question number 2, Willie, let's recap question number 1.
Question number 1 was the Titans have had well-chronicled issues protecting their quarterbacks the last couple of years. And Will Levis, of course, the percentages of times that he got sacked was extremely high. It wasn't so bad with the same offensive line when Mason Rudolph was quarterbacking. 2 years ago, when it was Tannehill and Levis, both guys who hold the ball, they gave up 64 sacks. Last year, they cut it to 52, but it was still a big, big problem, especially when Levis was behind center. The league average most years is around 40 sacks allowed. In fact, last year, the Buffalo Bills led the league with only 14 sacks allowed. That was phenomenal. So we put the question out there, over or under 42.5 sacks allowed for the Titans. Can they cut roughly 10 off of last year?
And we all chose the over.
Mm-hmm.
We chose the over. We think they'll be better, but we're concerned about Cam Ward holding the ball. And there's a lot of things, as Trevor was just talking about, if you get behind, if you have to throw, the chances that you get sacked go up. You have to throw more. So that might be a bridge a little too far. But there was some optimism, I think. You know, maybe we should have set it at 44.5. The three of us said over, but there were a number of our listeners that said under that think there's a chance.
My thought was it's going to be over 42.5. Mm-hmm. But under 50. So somewhere between 43 and 49. I think
it has to be better.
I think they improve in that area. But not as much as the over-under that Willie presented. All right, Willie, it's time for question two of your pressing Titans questions. And before you get there, once you hear Willie's question, you can participate as well and answer it on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Willie, go right ahead.
We debated this a lot behind the scenes as to where to set the number. The last couple of years, I have set the number for the Titans starting quarterback at 14.5 games played. 2 years ago, Ryan Tannehill. Last year, Will Levis. Because, let's be honest, most years, if the quarterback that you have penciled in as your starter misses more than 3 to 6 games, 3 to 5 games, your season goes kaput, right? So we were asking this, and Ryan Tannehill, of course, could not stay healthy 2 years ago. Will Levis certainly could not stay healthy last year. We also looked at the data of rookie starting quarterbacks and how often they can make it from start to finish. It would certainly be nice and a victory in and of itself if Cam Ward stays, A, healthy enough, and, two, effective enough to play all 17 games. But history has shown there are guys that could do that, but there's also guys that just don't get it done for one reason or the other. So we set the bar at 13.5 games this year for Cam Ward. Do you think, listeners, that Cam Ward will play over or under 13.5 games here in his rookie season with the offensive line improvements, with him being the first pick in the draft, et cetera? 615-737-1025.
Derek, why don't you go first?
13.5 games, okay. How many did Will Levis get through before he was injured? I think, seven games? Six games somewhere.
Will Levis played 12 games last season, started 12 games, but he was injured in the Miami game, which was early in the season. Mm-hmm. Was that week four?
That was week four.
Okay.
They went 0-3 to start the year. Right. Right. Yeah.
So he gets hurt in week four. So he went a stint of playing, 9 games. By 9 games. So they were able to keep him upright for 9 games once he came back from injury. And that was an offensive line that was, let's say, not good.
Stinky.
I didn't want to go there. They were not a professional NFL line. That's what they were not.
Or as you said the other day, trash.
Yeah, basically that too. But this year, I think there's a vast improvement from what they were last year to this year. I think this is a different type of offensive line. I think they have key spots in. They have what they need at every spot. They got a veteran at center that's able, and a backup veteran that's able to be a rock for them at the center position. Then they got a right tackle who's been in the league for a very long time, veteran guy. They got a left tackle, a young guy that seems to be improving. They got a right tackle that seems to be now in his right space and should flourish from there. And then they got Moore, who may not be an elite a left tackle, but he is a good left tackle. So with that being said, they have upgraded those positions tremendously from what they were last year. Now, that may not say a lot, but they have. So with that being said, I think Cam Ward, he hasn't had a history of injuries throughout college. He hasn't had the best of the offensive lines throughout college, but he still found a way to keep himself from being injured. I think the same will happen this time. I think a lot of it will be because of Brian Callahan getting the ball out of his hands very quickly. So I predict that he plays over 13.5 games.
Derek takes the over. Willie, why don't you go next? Over or under 13.5 starts for Cam Ward in his rookie season?
Okay. And let's, with the backdrop, for those that may be new to our show, because this is we've been doing this the last few years in the midday part of the day. The idea with these 10 questions are these are the things we've been talking about throughout training camp. And also, if they go the right way for the Titans, this will mean if enough of these 10 questions go in a positive direction for the Titans, this is going to mean a better record, right? It's going to mean that Brian Callahan is probably going to earn another year, that things are moving in the right direction towards the new stadium opening. That's the idea with the questions themselves. There's a little bit of randomness to this question. It's unpredictable because a freak thing could happen that could cost you a couple of games or more for Cam Ward. I agree with everything Derek is saying. The environment should be, and let's be honest, needs to be better. With the investment in the offensive line and what they put there, that's a support system that should help Cam Ward stay in there. And, of course, Trevor made a very important point that the running game support, that could go a long way to keeping him upright. And then, of course, there's the defense. If the defense can have a decent year. And last year, they weren't a bad defense. They were an okay defense. It was overrated because of the notion that the basic stats are still the things they put up on the TV screen. They weren't the third best defense or anything close to it. But they were still about an average defense. So can that be better? All of that would help Cam Ward stay on the field. That being said, I still will kind of believe it when I see it. I'm going to take under. I don't think it's
okay.
Just too many things can happen that could knock you out for a couple weeks. So I can't discount the fact that it is possible, as much as we think the vibes are he's doing the right things, that he could get benched or just taken out of the mix for a couple games just to take a breath. Even though a lot of teams don't like to do that, that has happened to plenty of rookies over the years. So I'm going to say under 13.5, slightly.
So Derek is taking the over, and Willie is taking the under at the number for the number of Cam Ward starts in his rookie season. Willie set the line at 13.5. So I did some research on this because I was just curious about how many first round rookie quarterbacks have started every game. And I looked at the 17-game era to start. So since 2021, there have been 14 first-round rookie quarterbacks to start games in the 17-game era. 5 of the 14 started all 17 games, 3 of whom did it last season: Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams. The other two, Mac Jones with the New England Patriots and Trevor Lawrence with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bryce Young just missed the cut at 16. C.J. Stroud started 15. Zach Wilson started 13. Yikes. But 5 in the 20 since 2021, since the league expanded to 17 games, 5 of 14 first-round rookie quarterbacks to start games started all 17. Daniels, Jones, Lawrence, Nix, and Williams. I hear everything that Derek is saying. He makes a lot of great points. I hear Willie's counter-argument as well. I am about to do something bold here, gentlemen. I'm about to do something bold. And perhaps in a couple of months, y'all can accuse me of doing the same stuff that Mike Tannenbaum was doing before he said that the Titans would win the AFC South. Not only am I taking the over, I say Cam Ward starts all 17 games. I'm going to do it.
That's not going out on a limb.
Maybe.
I mean, considering what we've seen the last 3 years, yes, it would be going out on a limb.
Yes, by the way, the last Titans quarterback to make every start was Ryan Tannehill in 2021. So the Titans have had to start multiple quarterbacks in 2022, 2023, and 2024.
And they're hoping that they don't have to do that again after
right.
Cam.
So I say that Cam Ward joins the club in the 17-game era that includes Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Mac Jones, and Trevor Lawrence. I say that Cam Ward not only takes the over, he starts all 17 games. By the way, Willie, the average of those 14 first-round rookie quarterbacks in terms of starts since 2021 is 12.3. So sort of in line with your 13.5.
That's where we... That contributed to us setting it 13.5, and also their inability to keep quarterbacks healthy in general the last couple of years contributed. I think we want to see if Ward. I think if he starts 17, like think about Caleb Williams last year. He started all 17, and he was sacked, 68 times?
Among the
like
highest
that?
Totals in NFL history in terms of sacks taken.
That is pretty fortunate that he didn't get hurt getting sacked that many times. So that's a little bit against the odds. And we just discussed it yesterday. We don't think that Cam Ward should get sacked 68 times this year. That would be a problem, right? They're trying to cut down on that number, the investment in the offensive line. I just think it would be a huge victory if he started even 14. I think that would be a good a good start, unless he was benched because he was extremely ineffective.
615-737-1025. Willie has tossed out his second of 10 Titans questions. Will Cam Ward start at least 13 and a half games? That is the line that Willie has set, 13 and a half. Are you taking the over or the under for Cam Ward starts in his rookie season? Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. We will get to your reaction. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.